Hi, this is Chris Peterson, host of the Penny Forward podcast. The Penny Forward podcast is completely produced by blind-owned businesses, including Taylor's Accessibility Services. Find her web hosting services and accessibility consulting services at taylorarnt.com. That's TAYLORARND.com. Also, we appreciate you listening to the Penny Forward podcast. If you appreciate us, we hope you'll consider providing a small donation to our tip jar to make this podcast possible. It only costs a small amount per episode to produce the Penny Forward podcast, and your assistance will be greatly appreciated. Again, thank you for being a Penny Forward podcast listener.
Welcome to the Penny Forward podcast. Penny Forward is a community of people who are blind, their families, and friends who share an interest in financial independence. Visit pennyforward.com to learn more about who we are and what we do. Join us now as we get to know people like us who are working towards their own success. Here is your host, Chris Peterson.
My guest this week is Lindsay Yazzolino. She is an expert in neurocognitive science and public transit accessibility, in other words, brains and trains. She is totally blind. She has a degree from Brown University, and I'm gonna let her tell you all about herself. But Lindsay, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, this is great.
So, a burning question on all of our minds, because I think you're interested in this. Do blind people think differently than sighted people?
Okay, so that's an interesting question because on one hand, we're all humans. Being blind adds a really interesting component into the mix of all of that, because in some ways, because we're blind and because of our experiences, we develop in unique ways. So we perceive things through other senses besides, you know, vision. And also we learn to interpret information that's perceived non-visually. So in that way, you could say there are some differences, but in the sense of like, were these aliens from outer space that like have totally different brains? No, we are not.
And how did you develop an interest in this type of thing?
Oh, it's a good question. So when I was growing up, you know, I've always been totally blind, and I was always intrigued by certain aspects of how my own mind works. I've always had a good memory for things like numbers and names and just recalling conversations verbatim, and also just, you know, having more of a sense of imagining what things looked like non-visually and what things felt like and sounded like, and just other things that weren't obviously because of blindness, but stuff like, why is it that I have perfect pitch, and just all these kind of things about my experience. And some things are harder to put a finger on, but there were certain experiences I had that I always wondered about. And I always wondered, okay, how much of this has to do with me just being me, and how much of it also has to do with me being blind, and how that plays into all the other parts of who I am. So I always was curious, but it was always one of those things that I just sort of took to just be a curiosity and didn't really go beyond that. So I went to college and I learned that cognitive science is a real field and that people study this stuff. And then a few years later, I ended up doing a study over at MIT, and it was a study where we looked at blindness and brain development and how that all works. And there's so many different elements of cognition that people have been looking at in blind people. And so for me, I just found that super intriguing because it related to my own life. But also, it wasn't just about blindness. It was also about like, wow, this is something, learning how the brain can be shaped by different experiences can really tell us about people's brains overall. So I just found it really cool. And that's kind of what drew me into it.
Well, very cool. And yeah. The public transit side of things, then, it seems completely different.
Yes.
And yet I kind of get it. But how'd you get to be there?
So the way I like to justify them being similar is that brains are networks, are giant networks, and public transit is also giant networks. But the way I got into it is, so you know, I was doing neuroscience research for a while, and I thought it was all really fascinating and cool. And I met all these scientists, and we not only did we study being blind, but we looked at how that actually plays into cognition. And so it was cool to bring that into science and to connect the scientific and blind communities. So I did that for a while. And then over time, I realized, you know, as much as this stuff was really cool and interesting, I wanted to start doing something where I could be outside of the lab and actually doing something that was a bit more hands-on and more sort of, I hate to say real world, because cognition in the brain is very much real world because it's all of us. But I wanted to do something that was a little bit more applied and just something different. And meanwhile, I'd moved to Boston and I was taking the trains and I was geeking out because I was like, ooh, the red line, the newer red line cars, like they hum in the key of C sharp and the green lines are in the key of B and all these things. And so I was like, I want to understand the transit system. So as it worked out, I had a friend who told me that they were looking for somebody to work in the system-wide accessibility department. And I signed up and I went in and they hired me. So I ended up working there for like about 3 years.
We'll get back to our interview in just a moment, but first.
Do you know the difference between a savings and money market account? When you're in an unfamiliar financial environment and need help understanding the lay of the land, Penny Forward is here to help. We provide affordable one-on-one and group financial education programs that give you the confidence to get out there and achieve your goals. Visit pennyforward.com to learn more about who we are and what we do.
Do you have a short success story you want to share on the air? Leave us a message at 952-856-0313. If you missed that number, you can always find us at pennyforward.com/podcast.
Bring that now back to what you're doing now. You're at CVS Health now.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm at CVS. I am a non-visual designer and I work in their accessibility department. We work with a bunch of different teams that develop the different websites and mobile apps and all the digital experiences that CVS provides. So I worked at the MBTA, the Boston Transit System, for a while. And after I left the MBTA, I decided I wanted to do some consulting work with different companies that make different technology and create all different kinds of experiences, whether it's museum exhibits or art, tactile art. And I'd been doing that for a while anyway, so it just seemed like a natural fit. So I started working with a company called Touch Graphics, and we make all kinds of really fun, cool, tactile museum exhibits and public installations and talking maps and models and all kinds of stuff like that. So I've been working with them for the past few years, and I've also worked with some other technology companies and worked with some artists and scientists and various companies and individuals who are working on interesting products and other projects. And I'm still doing that. I think it's really exciting. I love just developing, like creating things with different people who have all these interesting ideas. And so I did that for a while. And then over time, I realized, you know, okay, so that's really great. But I also wanted to add something that would be stable and, you know, something where it was steady, because I live in Boston and Boston's really expensive. And I wanted to do something where I could continue using my skills and then also make a solid, you know, career. And so I ended up hearing from on LinkedIn, I got my LinkedIn together. I totally did a revamp and set it all up and added all the stuff I was doing. And I ended up hearing from CVS Health. And it turns out they were really getting into accessibility and were taking it very seriously and wanted to add more people to the team. So I ended up interviewing with them, and we all clicked really well. And I ended up getting hired. So I've been there for about the past year. And it's really cool because this is like my first sort of hardcore digital accessibility position. And so I've gotten to learn a ton. And I also get to use my experience and skills as someone who is really passionate about creating not only accessible experiences, but just really, really cool, interesting experiences. And getting to learn about what all the other designers that we're working on and what backgrounds they have to bring. So it's been a really interesting experience so far, and I'm still continuing to learn a lot.
So you've had a really diverse set of jobs. Did you have a plan at all, or did this all kind of fall together? And a follow-up question to that, do you wish or do you think that having a plan would have made life different for you, or in retrospect, would you like to have had one?
You know, it's such a kind of a thought-provoking question for me, because the short answer is no, I did not have a plan. My plan was to follow the path of interesting opportunities. So I'm really glad I did that, because I feel like even though the trajectory I've taken hasn't been sort of cut and dry, it hasn't been necessarily typical, it's cool to be able to know stuff about science, and it's cool to know things about trains and brains, and I love to fly, so planes, but just all these different things, and to bring them together and just have this really awesome network of cool people and friends, and just I totally wouldn't change that. I think it's been a really valuable thing. And I've also been really fortunate that so many opportunities have worked out. I did kind of think that like, oh, I'm going to be an academic and I'm going to be a professor and I'm going to get a PhD. And that was kind of what I thought I was supposed to do. Or that's what that sounded good. And I thought that's what I wanted to do. And then I realized, oh, I'm in academia. And that's not really what I want to do. I want to be able to be more of an extrovert and be doing stuff outside of a lab. And I realized there was a lot more that I wanted to do in the sense that I just wanted a very different lifestyle. So then I kind of was just like, yeah, no, I'm just going to take opportunities. I'm going to learn from them. I think one of the things I would have done differently is certainly there were financial aspects of what I did that I should have been more, that I wish I'd known more about. Like when I freelanced, I think if I'd been more careful about, you know, how I was saving money or handling money, I think if I knew more about money, I think that would have saved me some stress. I think that, you know, there are definitely lessons that I needed to learn, and I could only learn through making mistakes. I think having jobs where I realized that it wasn't a good fit, or there were certain aspects that weren't a good match, taught me a lot about myself. So I would say, you know, there's nothing wrong with going and taking a non-traditional route to where you want to be.
We'll continue our interview in a moment, but first.
Hey, Chris and the Penny Forward team. So an app that I like to use for budgeting and banking and financial management is called Mint. It's made by the same people who make TurboTax, QuickBooks, and all those products. I like it because it's very accessible and you can set up budgets for your different categories. The other reason I like it is because it will connect directly with your bank account, so you don't have to worry about missing transactions that you can categorize later. It's fairly accessible, although they've had some updates in the past that have made it inaccessible, but they quickly revert the changes. So it's a really good app to check out. And as another side note, if you own a business, I really like using QuickBooks. But those are some apps that I like to use for financial management.
Do you have a favorite budgeting, banking, or investing app? Tell us about it at 952-856-0313. If you missed that number, you can always find it at pennyforward.com/podcast.
With all of the different things that you've done, have there been accessibility challenges along the way that you've had to overcome or work around? And how did that work?
Oh, yeah. Always accessibility challenges. I think it's hard not to find accessibility challenges. working in neuroscience was definitely had some challenges because you're dealing with, oh, people are looking at images of brains. And I tended to find myself doing more of the, you know, helping to set up experiments and running experiments. And I think if I'd stayed in academia more, I would have had to figure some more of these things out. I think, you know, focusing for me, it was more like the way I handled it was to really focus on the stuff that I could do really well. And for instance, I would write lots of scripts, MATLAB scripts for running experiments. And we'd have people come and they'd lie in an MRI scanner and do things like touch Braille, feel Braille while they're in an MRI scanner, or listen to sentences and do these different tasks that are engaging different parts of the brain, different circuits in the brain. So when we did that, I was putting a lot of those scripts together so that when people got into the scanner, they were, you know, they had stuff to do. So I did a lot of the coding, I did a lot of the recruitment, and so there was a lot that I could do. But I think that definitely the parts that were really hard for me were like doing like literature reviews and searching for papers, because when you do a study, when you're running a study, first you need to see what's already been done. You have to see what research is already out there. So when it was time to do that, it involved a lot of like going on these scientific databases and downloading a million PDFs and then reading like a million really dry scientific papers. And so not only was it just dry and I just didn't enjoy it. I mean, I enjoyed like some of it because, you know, it was interesting research that was being done, but it was just all the work of like navigating inaccessible databases and then getting all the PDFs and, you know, just having to scan stuff and then keep track of all the facts and keeping that all straight, and then writing papers, you know, then you had to do all these citations and you had to keep track of notes and all these millions of papers that you've read. And, you know, I did it for a bit, but it was just, it made me ask the question of like, do I really want to do this? Because I've had times where I'm like, okay, something is inaccessible, but I'm going to do it anyway. It doesn't matter. Like I will hit the wall sometimes and be really, you know, frustrated if something doesn't work, but then I'll keep doing it. But for stuff like this, it was like, I don't want to do this my whole career. So it was actually a good thing in a way, even though I would want these challenges to go away. I don't want people to have to deal with this. But at the same time, I realized like I actually would like to do something different. So yeah, that was kind of one of my main accessibility challenges I remember from that. Working in public transit was pretty, I would say there were several people in our department that had disabilities. So there was definitely a lot of understanding within the department. And it wasn't too bad as far as accessibility challenges. But then I feel like afterward, it's been sort of a mix of like me being in corporate, you know, in the corporate world right now, there's a lot of tools, quote unquote, that people use. And I say use quotes because tools are supposed to help you do something. They're supposed to help you get something done. But in this case, they are so inaccessible sometimes that they actually prevent me from getting things done, or, you know, only allow me to get things done with very slowly or having to deal with accessibility challenges. So it's been a combination of that, but also having really great supportive team members, and that's helped a lot. And the end goal is to actually help to make these things better, which feels good because it's like, I can complain about this stuff, but it's actually, it's not that I love having to make these things more accessible. It's not that I, you know, I definitely don't want them to be inaccessible, but it feels productive to be able to help make them better.
You mentioned financial stress, and this is sometimes yes. A financial podcast.
Yes.
And I'm curious if you have learned anything through your work on cognition about how people relate to money or how people feel about money, anything related to money and cognition that you can tell us?
I know that there are some interesting studies on the way people handle money as far as like handling risk, when in situations where you stand to gain something, whereas if you stand to lose something, and people behave really differently in those situations. It's been so long since I've read about this stuff that I don't remember all the conclusions, but now you're making me want to go back and look at that, because there's been a lot of studies on that.
Maybe we can talk a little bit about learning yet, because you had to learn a lot of different things. You've had to make a lot of different changes, and that in its own way is kind of risky. How was that for you? And have you learned anything about yourself?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's been really fun for me to make some of these changes, because I feel like part of what drives me is having new experiences and meeting new people. And I love it. Like, it's one of the reasons I love to travel. It's one of the reasons I like to go different places. And I'm glad to have worked with people in different fields and all of that, because it's a constant learning process. I think for me, I mean, there's a lot I've learned about myself. I think working in different kinds of environments has taught me about some of the ways in which I thrive and some of the ways in which I don't. When I was in academia, I thought, oh, you know, this is great because I love to learn. So obviously, academics are always learning stuff. So this is where I need to be. And then I realized, like, you know, this is really cool. I love being around people that are excited about new stuff. And at the same time, I struggled because I needed some more structure. When I was in a lab, it was a lot of, oh, come up with your own experiment, you know, read papers, do all that. And it was so kind of nebulous for me after a while. It was so open-ended that I struggled because I didn't always have defined tasks to do. So I remember learning from that like, I really do need to have tasks. I need to define sort of outcomes. And that actually kind of indirectly made me realize that working on things like tactile graphics and tangible stuff is also really something that motivated me. Like, I love sort of the idea of theory and developing new theories, but I also need to be able to put that stuff in practice. So developing like tactile museum exhibits and actually sort of engaging our brains, developing things that engage, you know, our different experiences is something that felt kind of like the applied side of doing neuroscience.
We'll hear the conclusion of this interview in a moment, but first, a brief word from our sponsor.
Podcasts are more popular than they've ever been before, and you can be a part of the action too. There's a special interest podcast for just about any topic. If you have something to say, check out superblink.org. We can help you make your podcast sound awesome. That's superblink.org.
Do you have a tip or trick you've discovered that makes managing your finances easier? Tell us about it at 952-856-0313. If you missed that number, you can always find us at pennyforward.com/podcast.
I would like to know, is there any advice that you would want to offer to young blind people that are growing up and maybe thinking about what they want to do when they grow up and maybe are a little bit nervous?
Yeah, I would say get to know a lot of people who have different careers. Meet people, go and do things like internships and going to events and meeting people who are doing all different kinds of things. I think that for me, that was something that was really important. And having an open mind, you know, you might think you want to do something right now and that's awesome. And you decide to pursue it, go for it. And then if something else, if you learn about yourself, if something surprises you, that's totally great too. But I feel like just building the group of people that you know, building your network of people, going to conferences and going to events is really important. I think sometimes it can be easy just to kind of stick with, you know, what's around you. But even if other people your age aren't doing that, it doesn't mean that you can't. I think when I was in college, I went to conferences that a lot of the people there were older than me. They were grad students or professionals. And I feel like that helped me down the road because a lot of the experiences I've had have been built on the experiences I had before and getting to know people and them being like, hey, you know, there's this cool job that just opened up, or hey, you want to come to this dinner, and then you meet more interesting people. So that's like my one big piece of advice that has helped me.
Well, that's really good advice. I really appreciate that. We're out of time. Yes. One last thing before we go, though. I have heard that you have memorized pi to a ridiculous amount of digits. Can you give us just a taste of that?
Are you sure? Okay. I'll do it. Okay. So 3.14159265358979323846263438327950288419716.
That concludes this episode of the Penny Forward Podcast. Penny Forward is a community of people who are blind, their families, and friends who share an interest in financial independence. Join us, and we will work together to avoid financial obstacles and target our goals. To learn more, visit www.pennyforward.com. Until next time, I'm Chris Peterson. Thanks for listening.